Welcome, tea drinkers and snow walkers, to D&D and Big D, where we put the D in D&D. We're a group of friends who play through published adventures, then review them in postmortem. We also invite other podcasts, content creators, and many other RPG celebrities out there. Hey everybody, this is Dungeon Meister Paul, also known as Stunt Monkey Z on Twitter. For this one shot, we're going to be playing through The Snow Stalkers, written by Kelsey Dione of the world-renowned Arcane Library. And for this episode, we also have our newest cast member, Marissa, and she was able to bring along her husband, John, to join in on the fun. Let's see how they do, as Jake is actually the DM for this episode. If you enjoy it, taught him everything he knows. If it's not so good, then it's totally his fault. Be sure to let him know on Twitter. Now, don't forget to click the subscribe button, or if you get your podcast ear candy, follow us on Twitter, leave us a review, and tell your friends about us. Okay, get your snow gear together, and also be prepared to go on a manhunt, or a witch hunt, or an owlbear hunt, who knows, as we listen to The Snow Stalkers, written by Kelsey Dione from Arcane Library.
My cat heard that. It's okay, Lulu. It's just people. Lou, you can't be up here. Okay, yes. I acknowledge it's there. Okay, good. Now lie down. All right. So this adventure is called The Snow Stalkers. It is a fifth level adventure for 4 to 5 players by our friend Kelsey Dione at the Arcane Library. Boy, it's so good. I'm excited.
Awesome.
So the adventure begins. You've all been traveling with a merchant caravan in a very cold and hard land. And the three of you wake up sitting on plush cushions around a crackling fire in the tent of a traveling merchant and curio dealer, a halfling named Nim Brago. And he has, whenever everybody wakes up, he has offered each of you yak milk tea with honey as the light snow begins falling outside.
Earl kindly accepts.
Now should be the time to probably introduce characters.
I can order Jake.
All right. We can go ahead and start with you.
All right. So Beryl wasn't really sleeping, kind of resting, because elves don't really sleep. You see in front of you a wood elf ranger with nestled up behind him, probably is sleeping. He may be leaning up against him, is Aranak, a giant wolf spider. He is my companion. Beryl's just, you know, fair-skinned, leather-hardened armor that definitely seems like he's seen quite a bit of travel and lots of different stories to tell. But he kindly accepts the tea and takes a sip.
All right, let's see. Go ahead, Marissa.
Okay, so waking up, you see a little gnome whose hair is, I mean, she's a redhead, but it's the orange redhead, you know, kind of more of a carrot top with like these light golden blonde streaks, and it's just frizzy as all get out. And her face is just like covered in soot. She is a rock gnome artificer. And so she wakes up and stretches and goes, "Oh, tea. I will definitely take some. Thank you."
Awesome. And just for clarification, what was the name again?
Poppy. P-O-P-P-Y. Poppy.
Awesome. All right. And last but certainly not least, Jonathan, you're up.
Yeah, so you guys see a dark-skinned dwarf. He's fairly broad for even a lot of dwarves that you've seen, and he has a mohawk on top of his head with the side of his head shaved and a full beard, black about as a raven, and he carries a giant great axe on his back. This is Maugrim.
Nice.
How do you spell that name?
Maugrim.
Thank you.
All right, Maugrim, will you take the tea, just like your companions?
Hey, I prefer something a bit stronger. Do you got any ale?
Well, I would if I could, but you drank it all 3 nights ago.
I remember that. Good times. I suppose I'll take the tea.
All right, so all three of you drink the tea, and no, I'm kidding. It's just normal tea. It's very nice and warm with the cold air going on about, and the yak milk, it gives it a nice hint of creamy with a bit of sweet that's just not too overpowering. It's a very good cup of tea.
I like it.
So, Nim, what brings us to this part of the world?
Well, As you know, I am a merchant, and I am a curio of curiosities. And, well, honestly, I actually have a bit of news that I was hoping that maybe the three of you might help me out with.
What might that be?
So, there was another party of adventurers that I hired about maybe 10 days ago now. They called themselves the Red Drakes, and they seemed like they were nice enough, and they seemed like they were competent enough. And so, I figured I'd go ahead and get them to send a very special item over the mountain range and deliver it. But normally, through the pass, it's supposed to be a 4-day trip.
So they're 2 days overdue. They're in back.
They're six.
Oh, so I was assuming they were supposed to come back. That would be 2 days, but no. Okay, so 6 days. Wait, yes, right. I need more tea. I'm still asleep.
Mogrim's scratching his head, kind of looking up in the sky, trying to make the math problem work.
Well, it's 2 days there and 2 days back.
That's four. So 10 minus four is six. So they're 6 days late. I'm waking up. I'm getting there.
Yep.
So what you're saying is they're missing and we ought to go find them.
It would be nice. And, you know, whatever you want, I can get my hands on just about anything. But I'd be happy to compensate you for the trouble. I just want to make sure that they're okay.
Fair enough. Where were they going?
I can't tell you that.
Well, you're asking us to track them down to find them. It would help us if we knew their destination.
Let me get this straight. You can't tell us or you won't.
The Guild of Curiosities that I work for has a very strict confidentiality set of rules. The only thing that I can tell you is that these Red Drakes were specifically tasked with possibly taking a shortcut through the mountains.
Well, at least you can give us a general direction.
If you can tell us the shortcut, it would give us a better indication of where to start looking.
Oh, yeah, sure. So we're along the road. It's just about a 2-hour hike north, and that is where you will find the river that you have to go to.
How far beyond the river was their destination?
There was supposed to be a network of caves that have been moderately well explored, you know, that serves as a pass through the mountain range. And that would have cut our time, you know, down by a month.
Hence the 2 days there and then 2 days back.
Exactly.
Unless they got lost in the caves. And then who knows how long it'll take them to get out of there.
Do we have a map of these caves?
Yes, I do. So then he rummages through his bag for a little while, and then he pulls out a sheet of paper that, you know, it doesn't look ancient at all. Like, this looks almost like a latest edition piece of parchment, and then he hands it to the ranger.
Okay, Beryl takes it and starts reviewing it closely as he's just listening to Nim continue talking.
And so as you're doing that, he's just continuing to kind of express that this mountain pass is not commonly used just because of treachery of the weather conditions right now, but it's not uncommon for merchants and people like me to use this pass. It's generally straightforward. There's always been some minor altercations with the local wildlife, but these guys seemed like they could handle the job and they seemed eager to do it.
What type of wildlife?
We do know that there are owlbears in the area. That's probably the biggest thing that you need to worry about.
Okay.
And then outside of that, there is a local species of Arctic primate.
Interesting.
But they're generally benign, if albeit a bit mischievous.
Do you only care about the people, or do you also care about this special item?
This special item is particularly significant. If you can get it, I'd be happy to pay you 300 gold each.
Oh, that's not bad. Not bad. I can make a lot with that.
Can you describe it for us or tell us what it is so we ensure that we return the right thing to you?
It's in a magically sealed box made out of teak and etched with tungsten runes.
Unique enough to identify. Very well.
Okay. Well, boys, do we hit the road now?
I think I'm good.
Aye, let's head out.
Anything else we need to know before we go?
How many were in this party of the Red Drakes?
Ah, yes, there are four members. There is a tiefling witch, a red dragonborn mystic, a half-orc warrior, and there was a human thief along with them, too. I mean, they all wear the arms and armaments of their trade, but they were all very easily distinguished by their bright red cloaks.
Very well.
And one more thing. If, assuming you find any of them, I'll pay all of you an additional 500 gold for each one you bring back alive.
Wow.
Doesn't do much good if they're missing because they're dead. But and I appreciate the gesture.
I prefer not to handle worst case scenarios, but the community I work for, we do have a particular set of standards, and I am genuinely worried.
Of course.
Hey.
Can I keep this map?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Beryl puts it in his into his pouch.
All right. And so after getting a, you know, 2 days worth of provisions and just anything else, stuff that you might need, you guys head off and start making the trek. Let me see. Who's going to be leading this party through the blizzard?
Probably the ranger.
Fair.
I figured, but I didn't want to assume.
Nor did I.
Beryl, you any good at leading these things around? You just point me where to hit something and I'll go.
Very well. Think we can definitely accommodate that. All right. So as I head off in the direction of the pass that Nim had told us about. So what time of day is it?
It is probably about an hour after first light.
Okay.
So you guys have a full day ahead of you.
Now, are we in the mountains or like a forested region or?
You are currently in a forested section at the base of the mountain.
All right. So one of my favorite terrains, just to be clear. So I did take forest as a favorite terrain. The other one was not mountains, unfortunately.
Oh.
But it was Arctic. So I don't know if that'll help at all, but.
Oh, it applies.
For snow cover. Good. So we'll figure out our way to get there with hopefully not too much interruption. As we get up there, understand I'm kind of keep an eye out for any other creatures. And I've got Aranac up and I kind of tell him, you know, just up ahead, see, you know, stay not too far ahead of me, but just a little ways. Kind of scout up a bit. If you see anything, let me know as I'm continuing to walk. And I tell him, don't forget to watch for owlbears. Can you hear? As he puts his little pincers together. Yes, yes, I know. Believe me, I'll keep you safe. Let's go. So we head up towards the pass.
Behind you, you hear a similar clicking noise, but much smaller. And as you turn around, you see that Poppy has a miniature wolf spider that is now riding her shoulder.
Ah, I like your choice. Very nice.
You're fun. I like to tinker.
We'll have to introduce it to Aranac later. So I keep moving forward, and I'm also looking out for any signs of any other travelers or any other tracks that may be in our path on our way to the pass.
Okay. Roll a nature check.
That would be an 18.
Okay. With an 18, everything is covered with snow, naturally, but you can distinctly make out a single set of owlbear tracks, and for some odd reason, you also notice a lot of exposed granite stones, small stones, like they have no real reason to be not concealed by the snow.
How big were they?
The largest ones are, you know, probably about a quarter of the size of your head.
Okay.
As he stops to notice him, Mogrim plows into his back.
Or just stop.
Taking a look and observing these stones that seem to be out of place.
What stones?
These granite stones here. Now, are there a bunch of them? They seem to be all over the place or just in one area?
They seem to be grouped in one particular spot, but they are spread out and they just keep running parallel to the owlbear tracks.
I would walk up to the nearest stone and take a look at it. May I use my stone cunning?
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
So this is an intelligence history check related to the origin of stonework. I'm considered proficient in history skills, so this is going to be fun. All right. So that's a 15 plus 3. So that's 18 total.
With an 18 in inspecting stonework check.
Sorry, inside joke.
I'm sure I'll catch up soon enough.
Probably you'll hear about it.
Yeah, you'll hear about it. So with that, you actually know that this particular variation of granite, a lot of it is kind of oxidized. And so it's spent a lot of time above the surface. And so this isn't coming from any quarry. And with an 18, you can very safely and easily speculate that these stones came from the mountain itself. And just looking at how they're kind of shaped, the way that the rocks have been broken, this isn't caused by erosion. This is caused by someone or something actually breaking these chunks of rock off, and they've been essentially thrown off the mountain.
Not natural.
Got
Looks
it.
As if these have been tossed down.
Then we best be moving more quickly.
Lead on.
Beryl picks up his pace a bit.
All right. And so with that, You come up to the river that was mentioned by the curio, and you can actually see that it is being fed by a large waterfall that is at a very sheer point of this mountain.
So I can stay within the woods. I don't go all the way out to the river. I don't want to expose myself, and I kind of motion to the others to stay within cover as we're getting ready to come out of the woods. And I want to scan and see what's going on. Can I see the other side of the river? What do I see up in front of us in the path?
All right, roll perception with advantage.
Thank God for advantage. That will be a dank 20.
All right, with a dank 20, you can pretty much see everything very clearly. You notice that there are about, like, along the sheer point of this mountain, there's about 8 of these white-haired apes. And they're all, you know, making their little noises, cackling, laughing, having a good time. And they are breaking chunks of the mountain off, and they are throwing it at something, and you determine where they are throwing it, and you see an owlbear. But with a dank 20, you notice something isn't right, and upon closer inspection, its eyes have actually been removed.
The owlbear's eyes have been removed?
Yes.
Where is the owlbear in relation to me?
In relation to you, it's about 50 feet away at your 10 o'clock.
And the apes?
They're right up ahead.
Is the river frozen or running?
It's frozen around the bank, but it is running, and it is running very quickly.
Is there a bridge or anything to cross it?
Nope. But there are rocks.
And the owlbear is blinded. Can I tell with that roll, were they pulled from it, or did a couple of the apes got lucky shots or something else hurt it?
They were ripped out.
So this creature is definitely in a lot of pain and...
Oh, yes.
All right. I want to put this thing out of its misery, because I don't, as a ranger, I don't, and an elf, I don't care for toying with game. Like, if you're going to attack me, it's one thing, but I can tell it seems to be, you know, just not in a good place. So from cover, I motioned to the other, I said, I want to take this owlbear out first. We can deal with the apes from a distance. And they're how far away? So good, about 100 yards or so?
Yeah.
Okay.
They seem to be enjoying their sport. We could just pass by.
We won't be able to get that close to the owlbear without it knowing that we're there.
So, you want to fight him?
I'd like to take this thing out of its misery. Looks like it's already been beaten up pretty badly.
We do run the risk of raising the ire of those large white creatures.
I'd rather not attack them.
They're being bullies.
Exactly.
So why wouldn't you want to attack them if they're being bullied?
Because there's a lot more of them than there are of us, and there's only the one owlbear.
I have things that go boom. They can take him out.
Do they seem to be doing damage to the owlbear, or are they just throwing small rocks that just upset it?
It's mostly just pestering. They're not actually large enough to do any substantial damage. They're just being dicks.
I will take that moment to create a cannon that fits in my hand.
I like her.
Resourceful.
It goes boom. So it might hit the owlbear, take the owlbear out, and then maybe it will scare the others away with the boom. Or I have things that go bigger boom than this. Your choice. I like explosion. What would you like?
Let's start with the owlbear. Beryl readies his bow to help out if the boom doesn't do it.
Is this owlbear across the river, right?
Yes.
Okay. But there's rocks?
Yes.
And they look like you're covered in ice?
Fantasy physics? No.
Okay. So as he's like ready and is like, well, let me get a swing in first. And he'll just start trampsing off to the edge of the river to go across.
Oh, bother. Okay. Alrighty. You said you wanted boom. So I got a little cannon and I place it on the ground. And I mean, it looks just like a little toy cannon. And I will fire my ballista cannon at the owlbear.
Oh, man.
That is a 19 to hit.
That hits.
So that is... So it only does 3 damage, but it is also pushed 5 feet.
Epic.
You're not entirely sure what happened. Maybe you were just off of your potassium chlorate measurements by like a pinch, maybe two. But it got the noise that you wanted, but it didn't exactly carry out the kinetic force that you were hoping for. As an artificer, you would know these sorts of things. And it strikes the owlbear, but it's more of a big fireball than it is actually any real ballistic damage. And it startles the owlbear, and And as it is knocked back about 5 feet, you just see this big, muscular, mammalian avian thing, full feathers, coarse black feathers. You know, they flare out, and its eye sockets are, they're still dripping with fresh blood, and it just starts violently slashing at air.
May I remind you, this was your idea.
Beryl takes his shots. So first shot was 27. And the second one is a 21.
Yep.
19 points of piercing damage.
Oh, it definitely felt that.
So as arrows are flying past me and the boom rocks the air, you hear Mogrim trying to cross the river say, "Hey, I said let me get in one slash first."
Move faster.
Being that he is still moving, may I take another action?
I will allow it.
Oh, since my cannon is actually a bonus action, that helps. I just do this and I cast Firebolt.
Okay.
So that is a 14 to hit.
Just barely, but it did.
Okay. So that is 2d10. That would be 23.
How do you kill it?
So, Mogrim is making his way, running, you know, as a dwarf does. And as I raise the wand, I go, "Maybe you should have had us throw you," and cast Firebolt, and just this lick of fire just burst out and hits the owlbear, making it like burst into flames right as Mogrim gets up to slash it.
All right, so you've killed the blind owlbear, and whenever you do, the hell-raising little antics of all of the apes, it goes from a bunch of dumbasses laughing at poop jokes to dead silence.
I turn around and raise my great axe and sever the owlbear's head.
You do that, and they just look at you, unflinching.
I pick up my cannon and start following Beryl.
Beryl makes sure Poppy gets across first, and then once I get up to the river, I motion her across. Make sure she gets across first and follow right behind her.
All right. I'm going to say you guys go ahead and get that taken care of with your Arctic expertise.
Thank you.
And let me see. Ranger, you probably know a thing or two about wounds.
You?
Anything you want to look at the owlbear on?
Yeah, I want to check the head and see what actually caused it to have its eyes ripped out of its sockets.
All right.
If I hear him say that, Mogrim will lift it up in the air.
That happens.
Investigation or nature?
Yeah, whichever one you want to do.
So it's an 18.
Okay. Upon closer inspection, you actually get a mild chill that runs down your spine because they weren't taken out in like some wilderness battle. It's almost like they were surgically extracted. The cuts are clean. Something took its time.
What you think?
This is not right. I explained to them saying that something took its time to remove the eyes with care from this owlbear.
Someone, you mean?
No. Someone means they have a soul. Something meaning evil. Good this traffic. Does not sit right.
So do we track the owlbear to see where it came from? Is it possible that maybe this thing had something to do with the missing party, or is this just something that we are supposed to ignore in order to meet our goal?
I say we stay on our main path and see if anything else comes our way or indicates whatever this thing was that did it to this owlbear. But our main focus is the party.
That's the first damned thing you've said that made sense, elf.
Okay.
I look up to the ape creatures. Are they just standing there in shock, or what are they doing?
They are slowly climbing away and getting out of sight.
Good. Let's keep moving.
All right. And so you guys continue up the path. And
I tell Anorak to stay close to me, so he's not going to be up ahead anymore. He'll be right by me.
Look at you looking after buddy. I respect that. So you guys are going along the trail, and all three of you see it. You see, hanging from a tree, on a rope, something swaying in the breeze, covered in a bright red cloak.
Uh-oh.
Can we make out what it is, or is it still too far away?
As a wood elf, I'm going to give you a chance. Roll perception or anything.
All right, 19.
With a 19, you can tell it bears the weight of a corpse.
I'm trying to figure out size. There was a tiefling, a human, an orc, and was it a halfling?
Dragonborn.
Dragonborn. So I'm trying to make out if I can identify one of the four.
You don't. It actually appears to be a little too large for that. And with a 19, that's actually whenever you notice that it actually has hooves.
Hooves. Could be a tiefling. I can only make out two right now, just hanging below.
Yes.
How far away is it right now?
I'm going to say it is 40 feet.
Well, let's check it out.
Approach with caution. And I'm scanning everywhere else around now. I'm not keeping my eyes on that. I'm looking everywhere else around, seeing if there's anything, scouting any other points where, like, points of advantage from, like, up coming down onto that part of the pass.
All right. And I will say with a 19, as you inch closer, that's whenever you see it. There is a disturbance in the snow directly beneath it. And whenever the corpse sways in the wind one more time, you actually see that it is a deer carcass that has been wrapped in a bright red cloak. And as a ranger, you know this kind of tactic before as a hunting trap.
So I tell my my partners, it's an old hunting trap. I'm trying to identify what they're like, what type of trap it would be. I'm assuming like a big game, such as like an owlbear or something like that, that would want to go after the deer carcass.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of the red cloak?
Could be just to get whatever creature's attention. Something that bright would be easily seen or spotted from a distance.
You think one of this missing party is to blame for this trap being here?
Could be. Can we see their cloak? Does it have any symbols or any iconography on it that would lead us to believe it's one of the red drakes?
As you inch closer to it, you do notice a badge, and it's a black kite shield, and on top of it is a gold drake. So it is definitely a red drake cloak.
So what else in the disturbance in the snow underneath? You said just that's just caused from the carcass hanging?
No, it's as if something was very quickly buried there.
Still scanning around. Is there anything else in the area?
Nothing.
Do you want to try to spring the trap and see who comes?
It's not springing the trap. I think it's already been sprung. Let's find out what's underneath.
Well, if the deer is the bait, then the trap hasn't been sprung.
Not necessarily. The owlbear that we encountered may have already sprung the trap.
Oh.
But there's something else disturbed underneath the hanging carcass.
Would you like me to send my cannon in to check it out?
Didn't know it moved. Sure.
Yeah. Yes, it moved. So I put it down and it just starts wheeling its way like a little Hot Wheel car over the snow and makes its way over to just underneath. So it's just going to wheel its way up directly under the deer and see if it can like trigger anything or if anything else is happening with a Hot Wheel car shaped like a cannon under a deer carcass.
So this is what you see. You just kind of see this little wheelie bot with this big old round cylinder, and it's just kind of moving, inching along, and you just hear the little whirring of the little gears and just whirr. Because it's an Arctic mission, I'm going to give this one to you too. It's got a little snow plow at the front.
Yes. Hey, I can design it with anything I want. So yes, definitely.
And so it's just kind of see it inching along, and you just see the little snowballs rolling down back behind it. And it's whirring along and whirring along, and then it clinks, and then you see its little optic look down, and it moves its little cannon in just sort of a little double poking fashion, and it springs a bear trap.
Does it get caught in the bear trap, or is it just outside the bear trap?
I'm going to say the barrel gets caught, but considering how it's probably made out of metal, it's just a cannon that's got a bear trap now.
I go over and reset the bear trap, helping to remove her cannon from it.
Well, it got an 8, so the bear trap is just there, and your little robot is completely undamaged.
You want good little cannon.
I just leave the trap alone.
So maybe someone comes now that the trap has actually been sprung.
I cut down the deer carcass and just leave it laying there on the ground on top of the trap.
I will go climb a tree and hide.
We're going to keep moving. Poppy, I don't want to stay here long. I'm just cutting this down to this way if any other creature does come, it can take the meat and move on.
Wait, that's so, one of the people's cloak.
Mogrim had already gotten two daggers out, and when you said let's just leave it here, he looks like really crestfallen. And he's like, fine. And walks over and gets the cloak off of the carcass.
Should we keep this?
Yes. If nothing else, it'll be a sign back to Nim that we found something of their survivors. Or what, at least what was left of them.
What if one of them shows up to get the deer?
And so as soon as you guys say that, with the bear trap being sprung and the sound of the metal clanging against metal, it echoes across the mountain. Shortly after, you hear off in the distance the sound of... It's like this weird amalgamation of the roar of a bear and a mechanical foghorn.
Well, that's unsettling. Here.
And he hands Beryl the cloak.
I wrap it up quick and shove it into my pack. Is there a place for us to take shelter or hide?
I'm already up in a tree.
With a quick scan of the horizon, you do notice in the direction of this thunderous sound, you do see a plume of smoke billowing.
I find another different tree and get up into it, grabbing Mogrim. Get up into the tree. Like, find another spot for him to be.
And he's going to pull her cloak over her hair.
All right. She does that.
I can get up here just fine by myself. Thanks.
It's all you. And I find another spot. So I have a clear line of sight to and keep my eyes on what's going on.
All right. And so you guys get up and find cover. And after what feels like an eternity, adrenaline's running high, blood's running hot, still nothing happened. And off in the distance, you kind of get a better idea of where this plume of smoke is coming from. And it looks like it's actually coming from a campfire.
I motion to the others and then spread that word. Smoke looks more like a campfire. Let's scout ahead.
All right. So you guys make your way to the campsite and... let me see. Mogrim, roll me a perception check. Tell me what you see.
That is a 14.
With the 14, you see four tents. Well, one tent standing. You see three tents that have been completely torn apart, strewn about, and each of these tents bear the same symbol of, well, as the one that is on the red cloak. And with that 14, you also see something black, partially buried in the snow.
Does it look big enough to be an owlbear?
No, it's definitely not owlbear size.
Okay.
There's something buried amidst those tents over there. This might be the party we're looking for.
Beryl takes a look. Perception at 26.
So with that, you can tell that the campfire is old and is just smoldering away. And the black thing is, at least from your vantage point, it is human-sized. With a 26, there was a lot of activity that went on here. It looks pretty safe.
So I pass that information on to my party and start moving forward.
Mogrim will just nod at him and tail him.
Puppy is following.
All right, so you guys come up to the camp and... Congratulations, you found the thief. He's dead. That was his jet black armor that he is still currently wearing and is buried in the freshly fallen snow.
Can we tell what killed him?
I'm going to say with the 26, you do. Whatever it was violent. And it wasn't hungry.
Any other signs of the rest of the party?
Amidst all of the chaos, the trail it's got to be at least several days old, so it's difficult to make out, but considering how you just rolled a level number 26 like a badass, you're able to spot it with your, super awesome wood elf ways, because you're a wood elf.
What happened here?
Something massive came through here and seemed to tore this place up. Looks like it went off that way.
Is this our thief?
Here's so.
Mogrim will reach down and start searching the body.
So, massive to you or massive to me? Because those are kind of two different measurements.
Massive to me.
Okay.
Let's look and see if we can find this, the chest that Nim sent us for.
With that 26, I'm going to say you don't, but you can distinctly tell where the tracks are heading.
It's like they go ahead.
On the body, you find 52 gold, and you find a journal.
Can I read it?
You can.
What does it say?
The last, you flip through the page, and it all just kind of, looks like previous escapades, and so you being the barbarian that you are, you get very bored, and so you just flip to the last page. All you see is, she's here. We shouldn't have come here.
Does this look like it's the thief's journal, or does it look like it's one of the parties?
It's his.
She's here. That's what he had to say before he died in his journal.
Who's he?
I don't know, but he said, following that, I shouldn't have come here.
And Margrim just kind of tosses the journal to the side into the snow.
Beryl takes that, puts it in his pack. We need to keep something of each of the members in order to identify them. We don't know if the cloak belonged to the human or not.
You said yourself this was the thief.
Yes, and they said it was a human thief. So at least for now, we can assume that that was his.
Margrim shrugs.
So is there any signs of any of the other party members, or all the tracks seem to lead off in the same direction?
They all seem to lead off in the same direction. And from here, just given your exposure to your artificer, I'm going to say with the 26, it clicks. The tracks that you didn't recognize them because they didn't come from an animal.
I point out the tracks to Poppy to see if she, I can identify what it may have been.
Ooh, that's neat. Crap. Poppy will start measuring them, even if that means laying out and measuring her full body against the paw prints, whatever they are, you know, since she's small.
What are you doing?
Trying to identify tracks.
So I'm going to go ahead and give it to you.
You're not going to make
it. The tracks are, well, we've got, it looks like, what is it, 32 minutes?
Ah.
So you being an artificer, you have been schooled in all sorts of mechanical engineering, and you recognize these as the tracks of a mechanical walker.
Oh, we have a mechanical walker. Very big, very, yeah, massive. Good word, mechanical walker. And it goes that way. Shall you lead the way?
Let's keep moving. So Beryl starts moving on.
So is a mechanical walker a good thing or a bad thing?
Depends on who's driving it. I mean, my cannon is a good thing, so long as I'm the one driving it. Anybody else driving it? Not so much.
Sounds logic. All right, so you guys come up to the next spot, and you see something that is a little peculiar. You see a sign.
And we read it?
It doesn't have any words, but it does have a picture of a crudely drawn owlbear that's standing beneath a half circle, and that is standing beneath a triangle.
Does that mean anything to me?
You can all kind of safely assume that it means that there's a like an owlbear cave nearby. But since you are asking about it, roll me an investigation.
Sure. That would be a 13.
With a 13, it doesn't. There's something off about it. You're really not quite sure what it is, but there's something, like, it doesn't seem like it should be there.
What's this sign made of?
It's a pretty standard sign of metal pole, wooden face, and the painting on it is pretty crude.
Not much talent with the painting, but something seems off. Beryl, what do your elf eyes see?
Beryl rolls a 17.
With a 17, you can tell that this sign is fresh. Like, it's very, very fresh.
You said it was like a metal pole?
Metal pole with a wooden face, yeah. And it doesn't even look like it was a month old.
This is not common for these parts. Metal is still a rare commodity, not something that you would use to put a sign up.
Well, I mean, if you're someone of my nature that does a lot of work with metal, then I mean, that kind of makes sense.
Yes, but I would expect to see something like that in more of the bigger cities, not so much out here in the middle of nowhere. It also appears fresh, like it's new. This is not something that's been here for a very long time.
Is this a breadcrumb, then? Like the old story?
The old story? I'm used to breadcrumbs being things you eat.
Dwarves and their old stories. They always seem to have them. Let's keep moving.
You guys move on, and that's whenever you come up on it. You see the cave, and you see a bunch of clumps of matted black hair, and you see a few coarse black, you know, large black feathers strewn about. And on the inside of this cave, you see another red drake cloak.
Approach the cave cautiously, checking the signs. What looks to be just detritus or debris left over from owlbears.
Mm-hmm. But there's something that's really odd.
That would be a 16?
With a 16, there's signs of shedding from an owlbear, but there's no tracks. None whatsoever.
I passed that information to my team. Something is definitely amiss.
Well, they have feathers. Do they fly?
Not well. More like glide.
Margrim kind of takes a look around to see if there's anywhere to glide to from where they're standing.
While you're looking around, you notice the red cloak actually has a tiefling tail sticking out from beneath it.
Hey, someone's attached to that cloak.
Go take a closer look, checking for any other type of sign of trap or anything like that around it. investigation plus three, that would be 21.
With a 21, all three of you are cautiously but hastily approaching the red cloak and what is hopefully the tiefling, and it turns out that yes it is. But right as Malgrim is about to put his hands on her, that's whenever you see it.
See what?
There's a tripwire.
Don't touch it.
What is it?
It's a tripwire.
Ooh, that sounds up my alley. I will come over and slowly and like observe the area around to see what mechanical thing it is attached to.
Okay.
What would you like me to roll?
I don't know. Don't you have a special artificer thing that you can roll?
Well, I have like double my proficiency bonus if I'm rolling and it has something to do with mechanical stuff.
All right, do that with advantage.
What dice? That is a 27.
With a 27, you run your finger along the left portion of the tripwire, and you look to your left, and you see a little spring system, and up above, you actually see a fairly sizable rig of TNT.
Oh, explosive.
Mm. And on the other side, you actually run your finger and it leads to the tiefling witch, who is unconscious. Her HP is at zero, but she's appears to be stable. And you very carefully lift up her cloak. You see the other end of the tripwire is connected to a key, and the key is connected to a grenade.
Double explosive. Okay. All right, so we have really big explosives up there and tiny explosive here. She's actually alive. Well, I'm conscious, so we could heal her, but we probably don't want to do that until we get her down and we get that thing off of her. So, how would you guys like to handle the explosives? Or do you want
me to- I'll stand back here. It sounds like somebody's waiting for us.
Yes. Poppy, you tell me what you need me to do, but I would say let's disarm and get her safe first.
Sounds good. So I would like to, I guess, disarm the trap?
Yes.
Alrighty. So is that typically sleight of hand? How would you want me to do that?
Roll an intelligence save.
Okay, that I can do. 25.
It succeeds. You're successfully able to disarm the trap, and as soon as you do, Beryl and Malgrim work in unison to very, very quickly get her out of the cave.
As soon as we get her clear, I cast Cure Wounds.
All right.
I stand her up on her feet.
All right. She's going to regain 8 points.
Awesome. So she regains that HP. She comes to and she is out of her mind, scared.
I'm holding her firm, grappling if necessary.
We're here to keep you safe. We were sent to look for you and your party by Nim. What's wrong? What
happened
here?
She has the box. She has it.
Who's she?
The Mad Alchemist. She came with machines, living machines.
Hmm.
I think they were animals once. They might have been people. I don't know.
Okay, that really is mad.
And I thought I'd seen everything.
We were supposed to take it, and she took it. She set up in the cave where we were supposed to go.
Sounds like she had inside information.
Poppy, is there a way for you to reuse some of the explosive that was set for our friend here? What was your name?
Give me one second.
I'm going to thank Okie Dokie Dice for such great rolls tonight.
Well, yeah.
Excellent. We got our brand recognition out of the way, and just in time to find out that her name is Thalia.
Thalia. Thalia, where are your other compatriots? We found your human friend. I'm sorry, he's gone.
He got out. He tried to get help. Everyone else is still down there.
Still down where?
In the cave, her lab.
I show her the map of the cave system that Nim gave me. Where in the caves?
So she takes a look at the map, and using her clawed finger, she traces the exact path and then hits the map in a very specific chamber and just says, "There, please, you have to stop her. She's doing awful things in there."
Are you strong enough to come with us to help?
Still holding her up.
I just want to go.
Go. Find Nim. Tell him what happened. Here. And I hand her the cloak, not sure who that belonged to, and then the journal from her human friend.
Eophis's journal is gone. And she just kind of very, very defeated gets up and just starts walking away towards where you guys just came from.
As she leaves, Magrum will shout,
"His body's at the camp. we didn't move it.
She doesn't register it.
Well, I hope she survives. It's a little rough out here.
Something tells me she'll be fine. We need to go.
Agreed.
Poppy, anything we can take with us?
Can I take the explosives in order to use them later?
Yes, and you do.
As we enter the cave, Bogren's going to be like, you know, I always like going into caves. Feels like coming home.
Good. Beryl hands him the map. Here, you guide us through these.
No matter. I memorized the path when she drew it.
Very well. I just tucked the map back in my pouch.
All right. We got a 12-minute montage moment. And so quickly and effortlessly, you guys start making your way towards the location. As you do, you come upon a dragonborn in a red cloak, and he is just sitting, and he's rocking back and forth.
Does there appear to be anything wrong with him besides the fact that he's rocking?
Yeah, his pupils are completely dilated up to max.
That one's stitched in the head.
What appears is to be your boggle.
More. She'll find you too. She finds everyone. Makes them better. Makes them new.
Yep. Scientist for sure.
Tried to destroy it.
Tried to destroy what?
Little bug. I tried. I failed. Now she has it. Wants to keep it.
We'll be sure to not let her do so.
Thalia is all right. Exit out the cave.
What if I could?
Why can't you?
I don't think I can move.
Why not?
I feel like a tree.
Drugged.
Barrel casts lesser restoration.
That's the recovery one, right? Like disabled.
Yeah, you touch a creature poison and can end either one disease or one condition afflicting it.
All right. I'm going to say it's poisoned.
Okay.
And as soon as you do that, he snaps out of it. And, well, he's not in a good way either.
I'm making sure there's nothing mechanical attached to him. Like, no more traps.
Oh, look at you. You don't notice any traps, but you do notice something mechanical.
Oh?
The entire lower half of his body.
Oh, bother.
He's plugged in.
Oh.
Is the lower half of his body missing and replaced by mechanical legs?
Mechanical roots.
Roots. So he's legit, like, plugged into the floor.
He's plugged into the floor.
Oh, that's creepy.
We have to go now.
Is there a way I could maybe pry his feet out?
So you're inspecting it, and he looks at you and he says, not without killing me, but I think at this point that doesn't seem so bad.
Sorry, friend.
Would you like me to do the honor?
I can also just give you this and you can pull the key when we walk away, and I hold out the grenade.
Give us a bit more time. Let us see if we can help you when we come back.
There's no helping with this. I am man and machine. The twisted irony of her humor. See, I'm a druid. She planted me. I can't move.
Let's go. Beryl just hangs his head.
If you find that box, promise me it burns with her.
For this, guaranteed.
Lots of explosions.
You have my word as a mountain dwarf, strong and sturdy as the roots of the mountain.
Bad words. Yeah.
Phrasing.
He makes a bow.
I'm glad we can maintain our humor even in these times of horror.
Let's go. So
as the other two leave the room, he'll look him dead in the eye and say, die with honor, and pelt off after him.
Oh, man. Bless.
Hey, I was totally prepared to, like, literally slit his throat at his request.
Oh, I know. Oh, totally.
I must say, I concur. And I understand, and I would not have stopped you. But.
Oh my god! And then she comes in with the grenade thing. I'm like, oh man, decisions.
That's freaking awesome. Rails, Jake. Rails.
All right. So putting this thing on the rail, you enter the laboratory and you see cages, and inside of these cages is just dead or dying animals, dead or dying people. You see vats, twisted, gnarled mutants and machine merged together. It's just a big splicer's paradise. And as you are going along, you hear screaming, what the fuck are you doing? Get me out of here. And you go and find out that it is the last remaining member of the Red Drakes. It's the Half-Orc, and he appears to be unharmed.
Hey, guys, you get him out. I've got a plan for everything else.
He's in a cage?
Yep, it's pretty much right next to you.
We let him the hell out.
Yeah, as we run to go over there, I yell at Barrel.
Stealthily walk over.
All right, and so loudly and stealthily you walk over.
I yell at Barrel, whatever, quietly. She is soulless.
You quietly yell this, and it's effective.
It's effective.
And so you see, you get the half-orc out, and he's just like, man, if you guys hadn't come along. Anyway, I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm sure my people are dead, and I'll mourn them. But right now, I gotta take care of me.
Thalia's fine. Dragonborn, not so much. You might see him on the way out. Might not.
Aovis is dead.
I figured that. It's been a while, but, well, if he's still kicking over there, is he all right?
Not really. You should go check on him. But first, do you know where the box is?
Shit. I've been in that cage. Hell if I know.
Right, we'll get out of here.
Just blow this shithole.
Do that.
If my Dragonborn friend ain't all right, I'll snap his neck. He'd like that. And then he leaves.
Kill steal.
Yeah, it's an interesting friend.
Half-orcs, bro. They're good people. Okay. All right, and
do we see Crazy Mad Lady?
You do see a Crazy Mad Lady.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. You light this and throw it in there, and then I'm going to cast this at the same time, and it should knock everything out. Got it?
I knock one of my arrows, throw this where?
Just in the room where we're not going to get hit by it.
So I point to where...
I'm handing him the TNT, by the way.
To right where she wanted it, right where she told me to
like right it. Right on the Mad Alchemist. On the count of three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And I cast Fireball.
And I release.
All right, everybody roll a flat d20.
12.
13.
Nat 20. Yes! Love you, okie dokie.
All right, and in the spirit of okie dokie, I went ahead and rolled. The success rate was actually an 8, and so all of you passed. You blow her up. You find out that she was actually attached to a huge, fleshy mechanical construct, and the entire lab burns. You have that James Cameron's Aliens moment, running out, just 5 minutes on the clock and shit, and you bolt out of there, and... You can only safely assume that the box has been destroyed and have completed the Snowstalkers.
Now, didn't I tell you that I need to blow stuff?
I need to hang out with you more often, Poppy. That was nice.
I love blowing things up. It's much fun.
I'll admit, that was a right fair piece of work.
Thank you, thank you. Now let's go get our money.
As soon as you say that, you hear Aranak.
Hi, dear.
Yes, yes, you too. Come on.
I will let my little mechanical wolf spider, like, crawl over onto the giant spider's leg and crawl up on his back.
Aranak just kind of gives a little bob, like, hey, I think he likes him.
Hey.
So as we're walking away, Mogrim's kind of smiling to himself at the success and then kind of looks at both of them. And then a scowl comes across his face and says, hey, next time, let me get a swing in.
And scene.
I think he just dropped the mic on us.
That's awesome.
Oh, totally.
Not a single attack roll.
Love you, hon.
Sorry, bud. I should have had you throw the TNT.
All good, man. All good. I am pro at being my wife's foil. It's great.
All right, guys. That was a ton of fun. Thank you very much, Jake. Another great session. Thank you.
Yep. And,
I will catch you all the next time. You have a good night.
Good night.
All right. Until next time.
Was fun.
I'm glad. My God, 2 hours does not do this thing any justice at all. Under normal circumstances, you can take your time with this, but with these plain reviews, we're just trying to burn through it, get the gist of it, and kind of give our 2 cents. I'm so glad I actually got a chance to read this from start to finish. It's crazy.
Sounds pretty crazy.
It's so good. Huge fan.
Awesome.
The vast majority of it was actually on the road, actually to it. And then, of course, we left out a bunch of stuff, intentionally left out a bunch of stuff so that any of our listeners that want to pick this up and should, by the way, people can actually have something fresh and new that they can add to this. For like the second half of it, I'll admit we kind of got caught up in just a couple of moments and I just kind of ran out of time.
That happens.
It happens. How was I supposed to know it was 10 hours? But it's just amazing. It's so good. I highly recommend finding this.
Who is the author again?
The author.
Kelsey Leone? Is
that Kelsey Dione of the Arcane Library. Yep, there we go. The horror package. I think it's out already, but just in case it isn't, keep this on the lookout. This is amazing.
Is it part of like a bigger world, bigger adventure?
It's kind of like a horror pack, and it's just a bunch of smaller adventures.
Yeah, she's got it bundled like a bundle of horrors, and it's all the way through 8th level, and then she has a 20th level.
Oh my god, her 20th level adventures, they hurt.
Only $4.99 for the 20th level one.
Yes.
The rest are $2.99.
She's the same one that did the last game I played you guys.
On Thursday?
Yes, she did.
Yep, last Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so full disclosure, like I'm actually pretty squeamish when it comes to horror, and this wasn't all that bad.
True.
Like, nice. I'm a total Travis Willingham, like, so squeamish when it comes to horror.
And I mean, I'm sure that if you actually wanted to, you could elaborate and make it more squeamish.
Right.
But
yeah.
You don't have to, which is always a good thing.
Oh, guys, she's got combat cards, too.
Yes, it's so organized.
Grief.
Nice.
I could spend way too much money on her site.
Oh, my God. I mean, you would not be disappointed if you did. I'm just saying. We've done quite a few things of hers on our show, and every time it's just gold standard. It's all amazing.
My character? Yeah, Paul totally retweeted my tweet about contemplating what I was going to create, and one of our friends posted and was like, you need to be an artificer. And yeah, so that's what I was. According to the tweet, I also have a barbarian that I have to make, and a blood hunter. So and Paul says it needs to be the blood hunter is Betty White.
What?
That's great.
Yeah, I'm still wrapping my head around that one. I'm not sure exactly how I'm gonna do that.